Let's read God's word together, shall we? Philippians chapter 3 is where we are. We're starting to read in verse 4, halfway through verse 4, in fact. So that first little sentence there, which is kind of the middle of a previous sentence, we're going to ignore that and start, if, says Paul in Philippians 3, if, in the middle of this argument that he's making, if, in the middle of the letter that he's writing, if someone else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes. To know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so, somehow, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Wow, Paul. Go, 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 Paul. I don't want to cheer him on in this, really. And he just wants to make me focus, and maybe you focus just for 10 minutes right now on what really matters in life and what life is all about. I read this week of Dr. John Sinclair, who was a naval surgeon based at HMS Excellent in Portsmouth. And he had connections with Dumfries. Dumfries was his hometown. He loved to go back to his hometown. And on the 25th of October, 1840, he was picked as the winner of a prize draw held in Dumfries locally. He was the winner. It was actually only a kind of sort of some statuettes, a bit of a sculpture thing that he won. It wasn't like pots of money, but he was the winner. He was winning in life. It's a common phrase, isn't it? And are you winning in life? Next day, he was involved in a mournful accident and he died. And he never got to enjoy his prize. They set up a monument to him for this and for other reasons too, near Dumfries. It's this big kind of that sort of folly type thing, and I think they've got the prizes that he won in there and all the rest of it. But doesn't that just kind of strike you as being life? One day you're up and the next day you're down. One day everything's going right for you, everything's good with the world, the next day, that's it, mate, you've had your time. What really matters in life? And it's at times when things go badly. You know, there have been moments in my life and your life as you think back over the time that have really caught everybody up in the young lives of my daughters. Princess Diana's death was one of those things, and everybody just reacts. Coronavirus has been another. Of course it has. Life isn't quite what we want it to be. We don't seem to be quite as in control. And it causes you to think, what really matters in life? What is life? What is the goal of your life? What is your life all about? Paul wants us to think like that because what Paul is saying is, hey, I used to think it was all sorts of stuff. But I know what it's about now, and it's Jesus. And I want to know him. I want to know Jesus. Jesus is, that's the only thing worth pursuing in life. Life is so uncertain, it really does matter what we believe and what we give our lives to. What are you giving your life to? Paul sums up his life goal in this passage as knowing Jesus. What's your life goal? What really matters? What's the point of my life? And Paul explains this. And as he explains it, he talks about three things, and I have to do this very quickly this morning. Hope I don't gabble too much. Stay with me if you can. He talks about his past. That's the first thing he talks about, his past.
He talks about how he came to understand the whole point of his life and purpose, the reason that he is alive, in knowing Jesus, being found in Christ. Before he met Jesus, he'd been something of a hero among the religious, churchy kind of people, the Pharisees. You might say he was their Wyatt Earp. He kept the law and order, or at least, more precisely, he revered the law and he gave the orders. Good Jewish mums held this guy up, Paul, as an example of a good Jewish boy. He was given the seat of honour at the Jerusalem Lions Club Wednesday lunch. He had a who's who in Judaism entry. He was selected most likely to succeed at his university graduation. He was a big noise in religious circles. He was a spiritual billionaire born with one foot in heaven, and he knew it. He says, if someone else thinks they could boast, just look at me. This is who I was. Circumcised of the people of Israel, a Hebrew of Hebrews, my pedigree is pure. I had everything going for me according to the way the world thinks of things and the way religious people sometimes think about things as well. Blue-blooded, wild-eyed, this young zealot was hell-bent on keeping the kingdom as pure as he thought he was. And that meant keeping the fanatical Jesus followers out. So he marched through the countryside like a general, demanding backslidden Jews salute the flag of the motherland or kiss their family and their hopes goodbye. And in the midst of all of that, this titan, this hero, stops on the hard shoulder of the main road out of Jerusalem. He's got subpoenas and handcuffs and a posse with him. He's on his way to do a little personal evangelism in Damascus. And the stadium lights come on and he hears the voice and he knows, he just knows, this is Jesus. And for the first time, he sees himself for what he really, really is. To use his own words, the worst of sinners, a legalist, a killjoy, a bumptious braggart who claimed to know what life was all about and what God really wanted better than God himself. Paul is clear. He had every claim to be right in the eyes of the world, but he wasn't. And he needed salvation, which is a gift of God's grace alone. Paul discovered, as we all must, we are great sinners and we need a great Savior. That was Paul's past. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. That's Paul's experience. He wants it to be my experience and your experience too. A.W. Tozer once said, the reason why many of us are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress in life is because we haven't yet come to the end of ourselves. We're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work in us. It's only when we get to the point that Paul got to. And as he describes his past, he's saying, that has gone. I'm no longer that person. That's not me. Now it's all about Jesus. He speaks of his past and then he speaks of his purpose. Or more accurately, his passion for Jesus. He says, this is what my life is now about. This is my whole reason for being. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I've lost all things. I consider it all rubbish. Rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Paul writes about giving up everything else for this goal of his life. Why? Because he says that knowing Jesus, living and growing in relationship with Jesus Christ is so much better and so much greater and so much more wonderful than anything else in the whole universe. Being with Jesus is his goal, and everything else is, in comparison, he says, is rubbish. These days, sadly, the most successful brands of Christianity will tell you that Jesus is a handy device for material prosperity or for getting everything to go your way or inner peace or spiritual adventure or cultural dominance. Paul is not saying that. He's saying it's about knowing Christ. I want to know Jesus Christ. Not I know all about Jesus and I know all about God, but take it from me, if you accept this stuff, you're toast for eternity. Not that. Instead, he says, I want to know Christ. the power of his resurrection. If Christ wasn't raised from the dead, the Christian story, it's a doomed love. God's making a pathetic final attempt to win our love back to him. It's a story that ends in agonized failure on the cross. But it's not. Christ is raised from the dead, says Paul. I want to know the power of this resurrection. God's love is not finally in vain. So our love is not finally in vain, agonizing though it often feels to us in lots of ways. Death doesn't have the final word. Hope really is the shape of tomorrow. All our pain and shame and regret will finally be redeemed and transformed. Nothing is wasted. Fear will finally pass away. Joy will prevail. Resurrection power, it's the only power that matters in life. Financial power, military power, nuclear power. No power, no power compares with the resurrection power. When Paul says, I want to know Christ, he says he wants to know this power, the power of his resurrection. And then he says, yes, no, the power of the resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And you kind of wonder, has Paul ever heard the phrase, be careful what you hope for? Paul wants to share in the sufferings of Jesus. But Paul is being honest. Life is tough. There is much suffering and pain. If we think Jesus is a device for getting us to earthly comfort or eternal blessing, we've got it badly wrong. We'll never understand what Paul is talking about here. His desire to suffer is bizarre and meaningless and misguided if we don't understand that he's talking here about love. He says, I just don't want to be the beneficiary of Christ's resurrection. I want to enter into the very process by which the resurrection came about. I want to go to the heart of the darkness with Jesus that I might discover the wonder and the splendor of life and light. He'd rather walk through the intense suffering and pain and doubt and even death, knowing he was close to the heart of God, than face daily superficiality of life on his own. That's what he's saying. This is his purpose. This is his passion, to know Jesus intimately, powerfully. And he wants you to know Jesus that way too. He wants us to know Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, Steph was talking about that survey about Christians. And one of the observations was that they're normal like everyone else. Their faith doesn't change them. And Steph said, and I would agree, that's a tragedy. Their faith doesn't change them. You can hear the cry of Paul's heart. I want to know Jesus. I want to know him better. Everyone should look at me and know that that is the goal of my life if I claim to follow Jesus. On the stage many years ago, the singer Dana, asked the comedian Bobby Ball in front of 2,000 people, what's changed for you since you became a Christian? And he teared up. But he managed to say, I love him. I just love him. And then he had to leave the stage because he couldn't go on. He did come back a little while later to apologize and said that he'd had a word with God who told him to get a grip and carry on. But that's the response, isn't it? When we know Jesus and know the love of God for us in Jesus. I want to know Christ. Do you love Jesus the way Paul loved Jesus, the way Bobby Ball loved Jesus, that expression? Do you want to know him better? Paul talks about his past. He talks about his purpose and his passion for Jesus. And then he speaks about the progress that he's making in all of this. He speaks about progress. Not that I've already obtained all of this, he says, that I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on. I press on to take hold of that which for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Paul's so hungry for Jesus, desperately wants to know him, but at the same time he says, I haven't got it all together here. I don't know it all. I haven't come to the end of it. He says, I know Christ. He doesn't say, I know Christ. Does he say, I want to know Christ? You feel the tentativeness of that. I want to know. In other words, I don't really know him yet. Or perhaps I know him a little bit, but I just want to know him so much more. But he says it's okay, because it's all about the progress that we're making towards that life goal, towards that end. It's something that we're all working towards. It's a lifelong adventure. This thing I do, I forget what is behind and straining towards the goal. That's where he's headed, straining towards it. He's straining towards what lies ahead. He sounds like someone desperate to get where he's going, putting every ounce of his strength into it. If the goal of our life is to know Jesus, if the goal of your life is to know Jesus, how much effort are we putting into this? Are we straining towards that or just ambling along? is the question that Paul wants to ask. I encourage you this morning, if you're struggling with all of this, as I am, then let's say with Paul together, I do want to know Jesus. I want to know Christ. I may not have it all together. There may still be a way to go. But I do know him, and I want to know him more, and I want him to be my purpose and my passion and my all. Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection, his sufferings, and did you get this, by the way, just earlier on when we looked at it? Somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. It's almost a bit like an afterthought, isn't it? Listen to that last line. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection. Do you hear that, somehow? He's not 100% sure how this is going to work. He's not 100% sure even of what Jesus has in store for him in the future or even when he dies. Wait a minute. What? What? Surely the Bible's supposed to present us with rock-solid, unshakable faith. But Paul here, arguably ranked number one disciple on the Sunday Times All-Time Discipleship Hall of Fame, he's saying that even he, right now, doesn't really get it all, doesn't understand. Somehow this is going to work out. But I don't know. Maybe faith can be tentative. Maybe if you're struggling to know Jesus better and you're getting a bit down on yourself, a bit despondent, you're in good company here. Maybe if you feel you've lost the faith you had, this might be the moment that real faith starts to kick in. Faith begins, indeed, life begins. Life begins. You're not really living unless we've got this. The moment we let go of our own destiny and we say we want to know Christ. We want to know Jesus, the power of his resurrection. Whatever the suffering, even if I don't know it all, even if I've still got so far to go, even if there's no reward at the end of it all, I want to know Jesus. Jesus isn't a device to get you something else, to get you somewhere else. There's nothing more important than Jesus. Jesus is at the heart of it. This is what faith is, knowing Christ. It's saying, I want Jesus above everything else and I'll take the consequences. It doesn't matter because nothing else matters. It's all rubbish. So where does this leave us this morning? First of all, this. That Tozer again. That Tozer. The reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work within us. There are some of us here who have never committed to knowing Jesus. There are some of us who are listening to this who've never understood that this is what faith is all about. This is what Christianity is all about. Following Jesus, knowing Jesus, loving Jesus, wanting to know him more. That being our life's mission and purpose and goal. And we've never done it because we're still relying on ourselves. It's still about us. It's what we think. It's what we understand. It's what we know. There's a point at which you have to let go of all of that. It doesn't mean it doesn't matter. Trust me, I love reading. I love finding out about stuff. My faith is as intellectual as I can possibly make it because I want to read what people say about stuff, especially people who disagree with me. And I think it's vital and important that we do all of this. This is not a lobotomy. This is not getting rid of your brain and just saying, oh, I'm just going to be airy-fairy. It's about knowing a person who loves us, who created us, who wants the best for us. And the thing that stops us from doing that is what stopped Paul until he had that moment where it all fell away and he decided it's Jesus or nothing. And there are some of us here, some of us listening, who've not ever got to that point yet. That's the first thing we have to do. If you've never done that, this is your time. Let the lights come on. Listen to what God is saying. Allow Jesus to break in to your life. And then, and for many of us who've done that, at least at some point, if we're despondent that we don't really know Jesus well enough yet, we're in good company here, aren't we? Let's ask what we can do to keep that hunger growing. How can we encourage that? Dennis last week was talking about teamwork and unity and being together as the people of God. In passing, he was talking about that's what we need to be part of a group of people for whom nothing matters as much as Jesus. And we're encouraging one another to work that out. If you're feeling fragile in faith, take courage today. Be inspired by Paul. Be bold in your longing to know Jesus. Make that something other people can join in with. That's why we're talking about life groups and ways that we can share these most deep things together as the people of God. Paul's faith was tentative, so ours can be. We don't have to know it all, but his longing for Jesus so infectious. So infectious. It's inspired millions upon millions of people for 2,000 years. Paul's words became, and his life became part of the Bible. By any standard, that's quite a good deal, isn't it? It's a big deal. But your life and words can be a kind of Bible to other people too. Let your life say, more than anything else, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, foregoing any kind of sense of what the future is or the reward or whatever. All I want to do is know Christ. That's it. That's enough. I'm going to invite you to respond to that with some words. It's a song, I don't think many of us will know the song anyway, but the words on the screen are a song written 20 years ago, I think, by Vicky Beeching. And I'm going to invite you, if you wish, to use these words as a kind of response. And then I'm going to pray, and then we'll have communion together as time is pressing. So I'm going to read these words out. If you want to read them with me, then feel free, or just make it a prayer. Jesus, my passion in life is to know you. May all other goals bow down to this journey of loving you more. Jesus, you've showered your goodness on me, given your gift so freely. But there's one thing I'm longing for. Hear my heart's cry and my prayer for this life. Above all else, give me yourself. I'm going to pray with the words, using the words of Augustine. So 1,500 years old these words are, but let's use this as a prayer. Give me yourself, O my God. Give yourself to me. Behold, I love you. And if my love is too weak a thing, grant me to love you more strongly. I cannot measure my love to know how much it falls short of being sufficient, but let my soul hasten to your embrace and never be turned away until it is hidden in the secret shelter of your presence. This only do I know, that it is not good for me when you are not with me, when you are only outside me. I want you in my very self. All the plenty in the world, which is not my God, is utter want. I want to know Christ. Amen.